Everybody, welcome to the Dad Challenge Podcast. My name's Josh. Thanks for joining me today. Well, we got a special video today for you. So I've been doing this for about 2 years, calling out family vloggers on the internet for exploiting their children online. So I'm going to tell you guys the 10 things I've learned that are the most dangerous part about this life. So let's go. So to start, we got to go all the way back to the beginning when I started this channel. That was in 2013 and I was a pastor. Okay. And I did a video about what pastors, like shit pastors say or shit worship pastors say was something. And then I didn't do anything on this channel until Micah Stauffer dropped her video. And I'm going to play this for you guys. No, I'm not going to play the whole thing. It's 8 minutes long, but I'm basically going to show you what happened. Micah Stauffer came on the scene and everything changed for family vlogging. And this is from Rent Free. Make sure you subscribe.
We're gonna adopt
from China. My child is not returnable.
3 years later,
is now new forever family. There wasn't a minute that I didn't try our hardest.
There's not a minute that you didn't try your hardest, other than the minute that you gave him away and then went to Bali without him. What are you on about, love?
The last couple months have been like the hardest thing I could ever imagine. Pouring our guts and our heart into this.
You do your research and you do your research right, you could have a liquid gold mine and it could be insane. Once you get that desirable and a lot of brands are kind of fighting for places, rates get a little bit higher.
That little boy is liquid gold to my heart.
Anyway, you go watch that yourself. It's a really good video she compiled. Maybe I'll do it because I want to go back over. I might just do it like an anniversary video and go back over that one because it basically covers all the craziness. So Micah Stauffer adopts a kid from China, rehomes him, then does a fake apology video. But before she does the fake apology video, they go to Bali. They have Range Rovers, they have BMWs, they buy multiple properties. They just make millions of dollars. Their channel didn't actually take off until they started the adoption process. And then Micah's whole world came crumbling down because of what she did, and she deserved to be canceled. Now, I don't think every family vlogger needs to be canceled, okay? I just want family vloggers to stop exploiting children. You can do family vlogging without showing your kids. If you want to do mommy stuff, you want to do cleaning, you want to do a lot of stuff, you can do all that stuff without exploiting your children. And today when we do the top 10 things, I wanted to start there because Micah is the reason that I'm here. Okay, my channel exploded because I started talking about Micah Stauffer. And I actually didn't think there was anything wrong with family vlogging early on. I actually started one myself. I had one where my son was getting a perm and I think this is cool. We had a podcast, an audio podcast about dads. And I would reach out to family vlogger dads and say, hey, you want to come on our show? Because we were looking for other dads. At this point, nobody really thought it was that big of a deal. There were a couple people calling it out and saying it was wrong, but it wasn't as big as the conversation is today. And part of that is because people are starting to wake up to it. Part of that is the conversation that we're having here in this channel. Part of that is the conversation lots of people are having on their channels, and it has exploded since then. Family vlogging was normalized by the families like the Shaytards, John and Kate Plus 8, 19 Kids and Counting, Little People Big World. TLC kind of like started this whole thing, and none of the kids that came from that era have ever fared well in the world, okay? Now we know by looking back how shitty and dangerous this is for children. Now we're gonna segue in to the top 10 reasons that family vlogging is wrong. Reason number one, kids can't consent. It is not illegal for parents to put their kids on the internet. The parents can make that consent for them. The issue that we have here is that the kids cannot give informed consent. And a lot of parents like Jess Fam, Weiss Life, there's been a lot of like, I mean, I'm pretty sure every single family vlogger out there at one point has come on their channel and said, if my kid doesn't want to be on this, they don't have to be on this, right? And they say, I asked my kids permission, which they don't. Kids can't give informed consent because informed consent means that you have to know what the outcome could potentially be. Right? Informed consent is generally a medical term, and the informed consent means these are the things that can be the outcomes of this like surgery that we're going to give you. One could be death, one could be this, you could be paralyzed, one could be this, this, and this, right? And so you were informed about the outcomes. When it comes to family vlogging, children can't give informed consent because parents can't even give informed consent because we still don't know the massive ramifications this has. We are starting to see it trickle in, and all of it is bad. All you have to do is take a look at the AMAs from, all you have to do is take a look at these Reddit threads that a lot of these kids who are still in these families are creating. Now, if they're true or not is one story, but I want to believe that they are because they know a lot about the industry. Informed consent means that your child knows that if you're going to talk about them shaving their legs, their periods, their first dates, their tantrums, their medical issues, their psychological issues, Doherty doesn't, I'm looking at you, that what ramifications is that going to have on them as they get older? Especially when it comes to family vloggers like Crazy Pieces, Crazy Middles, Doherty Dozen, and all these other family vloggers that adopt children, Nelson's is another one, that they adopt children and they tell these children's paralyzingly traumatic stories on the internet for clicks and money. I'm an adoptive dad, so when I heard about what Micah did, that's what kind of brought me here, because I was outraged by what she had done, okay? You make a commitment to these children to protect them, to help them get through their trauma and everything else, okay? But what these people are doing is they are re-traumatizing these children by making them tell their stories on cameras. Some of them make the kids sit with them while they tell the stories. Not Enough Nelsons does that. Crazy Pieces does that. Crazy Middles does. Doherty doesn't just tells the story. But that is reliving trauma that they should probably not be reliving. And it doesn't allow those children to tell their story in their time if they want to. Okay? Another reason informed consent is important is because these kids don't know the outcome of what they have said on the internet now. Could in 10 years get them canceled. Because we've seen that multiple times in this new era of cancel culture. Somebody said something 10 years ago when they were younger, now it's coming back to bite them in the ass. Ellie Darby's a perfect example of that. Okay, say something racist when you're 17 or 18 years old, that's coming back to bite you. If you say something stupid on the internet, we don't even know what they've said now might not be construed as something wrong later. Okay? So all these kids are on the internet and being groomed to be these types of people, they cannot give informed consent. And I've asked a doctor about that, and his name is Dr. Kirk Honda, from Psychology in Seattle podcast, and this is what he said. Can kids consent?
No, it's obvious that they cannot consent.
So there you go. Kids cannot give informed consent. Number two, lack of privacy could affect their future. Embarrassing moments, private things shared. Their lack of privacy could affect their future. Now, I just touched on this in the first point, but sharing very private moments with your children, like, let's take a look at someone like Bonnie Holeen. Bonnie Holeen is a family vlogger, comes from the 8 Passengers tribe. They're all like a big family. Every single one of them has a family vlog. Type in something like shaving legs. Look what comes up. Teaching Olivia to shave her legs. That video right there has 737,000 views. The Switch to Womanhood, 412,000 views. Olivia missed her last day of middle school, slept in all day, 760,000 views. And if you go down, kids have lice, Olivia burnt off her hair, these are types of things. So there's Bonnie Holeen that does that. Here's a family vlogger that really, really pissed me off early on when I started talking about this called The Weiss Life. And if you type in period, this is what they do. Making teen period kit with my mom. We found her old period kit. And these videos have 1.6 million views, 241,000 views, period kit shopping, 5.7 million views, teen period kit shopping with mom, all about period products for teens, making a teen survival kit. She had an emergency at Disneyland. Why did that come in when I typed in period? Because they use those tags in those videos. When your daughter starts giving you attitude, I'm sure they're talking about period. Okay, also this family did bra. So if you type in bra, first time bra shopping with mom, 2.3 million views. First time bra shopping with mom, buying bras for her birthday. We found something in our teen daughter's room. My first period. So, and what she does on these videos is she sizes her daughter's chest with a thing on video. And what she has told her daughter, because I have an inside source that has told me this, is that she convinces her daughter to do this because there are single dads out there who don't know anything about that. And so it's your responsibility to teach those single dads that thing. And so she puts it on her daughter that it's her responsibility to show these single dads that they don't know what to do. That's what she has said to her daughter. Now, that's just two channels I showed you. I'm sure if you went to any family vlog channel, especially with teenagers, and typed in the word bra, period, legs, dating, whatever, it's all coming up. Same thing with animals dying. Weiss Life did that. Their dog died and they got their whole family on the chair and they talked about it and they all cried. Animals in and out of houses too. Like, these people can't keep animals. It's really weird. Kids having tantrums are getting punished. They'll film all that stuff. Especially 8 Passengers did that. And medical issues. One of the craziest things that you'll see on family vlogs, which should absolutely not be allowed. If one of the things that social media can crack down the most is that you should not be able to show your kids medical issues on the internet whatsoever. Go to any family vlog and just type in hospital or hurt or something like that, and you will see tons of videos of their children being hurt. One of the first things that brought me to OK Baby's channel was when Oscar was flying a drone and cut his kid's face open. And then the first inclination for a lot of these people is to pick up a camera. Our Life dropped their kid on their head by accident. A kid fell on his head. Something happened. The dad went to the kid. The mom picked up the camera. It's the first thing that they did. If the first thing you do when your kid gets hurt is film it for content, and that is wrong. Some of these kids, you know every single little detail about everything in their lives, including all the medical issues they've had. That alone makes this so wrong. Number three, a child should never be used to pay the family's bills. When it comes to family vlogging, a lot of these people can't survive without showing their children. Maya Knight is a perfect example of this. She's a TikToker. She had 8.9 million followers on TikTok. Now, she exploited her children from day one. And she made a lot of money doing it, okay? She would hold her twins, she would make bottles, she was called out excessively for being a bad parent, for being negligent in so many ways. She was drinking, she would spill alcohol on them. In one video, it looks like she's feeding them alcohol. She would leave them in cars while she's at the beach. She was disgusting. And she threw her baby daddy under the bus to say he was a loser and all this stuff, but it turns out she threw the wrong baby daddy under the bus. Didn't even know who her baby daddy was. This guy finally says, hey, like, I want a paternity test, gets a paternity test. This is all alleged, by the way. But basically he says, I want a paternity test, gets the paternity test. That guy and his family tell her, no more. We want custody and we want these kids off the internet. Maya Knight was forced to remove her kids off the internet, as far as I'm aware. Okay, I could be wrong, but this is what the consensus is. Okay, was forced to take her kids off the internet. Now she just blurs them or doesn't show them or shows the back of their head. Maya Knight lost almost 400,000 subscribers because she took her kids off. People are there to watch the children. The children are paying these people's bills, especially when it comes to teenager content. Okay, there are lots of people watching for the teenagers and the children. We're gonna get to that in the future about predator playlists. Okay, but when you see a video like periods and shaving legs, and that has, and bra shopping, and that has more views than anything else, who do you think is watching that? And these parents know that. And so what happens is a lot of family vloggers start out by not even realizing that they have cash cows. And they'll do a video that they already had something started. Then they do a video with their kid, like getting a tooth pulled, or going to the dentist, and the thumbnail is a kid with a mouth open. They get, oh my goodness, we went viral with this video. Why did they go viral? Because the kid's mouth is open and there's predators watching that video. But they'll cash in on that, and they'll do another one, and they'll do another one, and they'll do another one, because they know that's bringing the people to watch the videos. That puts the responsibility of the bills on these kids' backs. These kids are forced to create content, because if they don't, their family will guilt them into saying, well, we won't be able to have the lifestyle, we won't be able to go to Disney, we won't be able to do all the things you love, or have the toys they want, or the clothes, right? Won't be able to live in this beautiful house. They coerce their children into doing that, because the children will actually pay their bills. And Maya Knight, again, is a perfect example of when you take your children off, you're gonna collapse. The problem with that is that you're putting undue pressure on a child to be the breadwinner for the family. Jeanette McCurdy wrote a book that said, I'm glad my mom died, okay? And she was the family's breadwinner. And she felt the pressure. And she felt the need to do it, and her mom would pressure her to do these things because she was the reason her family could survive. And that should never, ever be a child's responsibility to be responsible for paying the family's bills. That is absolutely, it should be the opposite way. You should be protecting your kid. You should be paying for your kid. You should be doing everything. So when you rely on your children to pay your bills, you're doing it wrong and you are a terrible person. Reason number four, parasocial relationships are very dangerous. Now, what is a parasocial relationship? It is a one-sided relationship. Take a famous person, for example. You know a lot about them because you probably researched them, you read articles about them, and you know everything about them, right? Let's say you know that. Like Taylor Swift probably has the most parasocial relationships on earth. But Taylor Swift doesn't know anybody who knows her, right? So it's one-sided. When it comes to the internet, same way. These people leave comments and they leave DMs and they leave comments on Instagram and everything else. And they're like, we love you. We can't wait to see you. And sometimes the creator will respond back with an emoji or thanks for watching or whatever the case may be. But that's a one-sided relationship where the creator has no idea who you are, but you know everything about them, especially when it comes to medical issues, what they like, what clothes they like to wear, what food they like to eat, you know, where they go to school, their scars, when they started their period. You know everything about these children. So parasocial relationships are developed and could turn into something really scary. Now, Ava Madjuri is one of these 14-year-old TikTokers who had, I think, 8 million subscribers. She had a bunch of young guys who had parasocial relationships with her because she was a thirst trap on TikTok. 14-year-old, very, very inappropriately dancing, very much like what goes on in TikTok. TikTok is the most toxic place on the internet. Parasocial relationships were developed to a degree where a guy came to her house, blew off her front door with a shotgun, and was ready to go in, but his gun jammed and he ran away. He came back not knowing that Ava Madjuri's dad was an ex-cop, and that cop shot him and killed him. If Ava Madjuri's dad didn't have a gun, what would have happened? Okay, that is a parasocial relationship that has turned sour. There's another creator where a girl went to his parent family's house and it's stalker. It creates stalker situations. Parasocial relationships are really dangerous because the person that has the parasocial relationship often doesn't understand boundaries. Like if they see your kid in public, what are they going to do? Also, the parasocial relationships created with predators are a big problem. Maybe predators are being developed through parasocial relationships. Okay, because they are obsessed with your kid. And if you go through any Family Vlogger content on any platform, try to type in the word obsessed and see if you could find that word. It's likely in there, I'm obsessed with this, or your kid is cute and I love them. I couldn't live without them. When Maya Knight took her kids off, there were hundreds, if not thousands of comments about like, how dare you take your kids off? That's the only reason I come here. Where are our kids? We're paying child support. This is us. These are our kids. And I know they think it's funny, but sometimes it's a real person saying that and meaning it. Okay, so when parasocial relationships are developed, you have no control over that. You have zero because you don't know who they are. And the kids don't either. There's a new one coming out. This lady is doing a meet and greet with her three-year-old and is charging money for you to come meet her three-year-old. And one of the scariest things is that when these dangerous things happen, you're not going to know about it because they don't want to tell you. They want to keep that secret because they don't want you to know how dangerous it actually is. Until someone like Roman Atwood comes out and says, we had to move because we had a crazy stalker. But they don't tell you at the time what's going on. Okay, but this shit happens and it's really dangerous. Parasocial relationships are dangerous and your kids cannot consent to those relationships, by the way. Number five, predators. It's a great segue from parasocial relationships. Early on in this channel, we discovered analytics from a place called socialbook.io. I paid large amounts of money for analytics that were like the gold standard. And these analytics were called engagement analytics. Okay, they were different than you get on like Social Blade for free. You pay a lot of money and they tell you who is actually engaging the content. So if someone wants to sponsor your channel, they'll pay for these analytics so they can see what it's worth to go on your channel and pay you. Okay, so they're showing you who's watching, not necessarily who's subscribed, but who's engaging. Because a lot of predators aren't subscribed. They are just engaging with it. So the first one I checked was Everly LeBrant from the LeBrant Family Channel. This girl was, I think, 6 at the time, maybe 7. And she had 70% men over the age of 25 watching her because she was in dancing leotards and she was doing the splits and everything else. Why are adult men watching a young girl in her dancing attire and doing the splits and everything else? That was one of the craziest discoveries we've had on this channel. Okay, and that video led me into finding what was called a predator playlist. In order to understand how predator playlists work, you have to go back to before YouTube removed comments from family vloggers. Predators would go into videos, okay, and you could timestamp a video by just typing in the timestamp in the thing, and it would bring a little link up, and you click it, and it'll take you to the timestamp. You could still do that in YouTube today. And so what predators would do is they'd go to channels where kids are getting their diaper changed or in their bathtub or swimming in their bathing suit or something like that, or in a position of dancing or they're doing the splits or something like that. And they would timestamp that and they would share that link and that timestamp in their forums. Click here and it takes you to that spot where you could see the video because they're disgusting. Okay, YouTube took steps to change that by removing all comments from anything that had to do with kids. And that was a great move by YouTube. But these people complained so loudly that YouTube brought the comments back because they didn't care that there were predators tagged timestamping their kids in videos. They didn't care. All they cared about was the money. All these family vloggers who had something to say about it, and they all did, all cared more about the money than the safety of their children because this is a step that YouTube took that was for the safety of the children. So hear that. These parents cared more about money than the safety of their children. So they brought the comments back, but meanwhile, predators are just going to find a different way. And so what they did is you can create a playlist on YouTube, okay? And on YouTube, you can just start a channel and then you can go to anybody's videos and you can create your own playlists. And we found a bunch of these playlists of these guys had like 60 subs, 70 subs, some had less, some had more. And in their playlists were all the videos of like period kits, shaving legs, bra shopping, swimming, challenges like eating, dentist visits. This is a playlist by Sebastian Schmeideck. Don't know who it is. It's a nobody. Has 67 subscribers. No content on his channel. But look at his playlists. But look at his wife's life channel that he made. This is a playlist made by a dude on YouTube. The first image of thing is underwater gymnastics, girls in their bathing suits, ones. It's Our Life, 28 videos, 16 views. Yep. Period kits. Whole playlist of just period kits. Oh my goodness. Period. Kids swimming pools. This guy, Sabda O'Hagan or whatever. Playlist galore of just kids. Eight Passengers by Richard Welsh. 11 videos, pools and kids. John, again, a lot of these probably have monikers of women because they don't want to be flagged, which they're stupid. John, 359 videos, 1,221 views. And so Predator Playlist was a game changer on this channel as well. We discovered that, and they still do that to this day. And YouTube doesn't care. And YouTube brought back all the comments because they were losing money. And so predators on this platform are really dangerous because if we go back to the parasocial relationships, predators have the most information in your children because they know what they like to eat. They know where they like to go. They know what they dress like. They know what they look like. They know when they started puberty. They know everything about them. So if they approach them in public, they might be like, hey, I know you. And that's really dangerous, okay? Predators are looking for your children. And we've had multiple people say in prisons and stuff like that, they have men who are allowed to look on the internet for things, innocent things, they'll look up family vlogs to get what they want. And this is just, every family vlogger serves their kids up on a silver platter to predators. That is one of the most dangerous reasons that family vlogging is wrong. And these parents know. They've been told multiple times, especially my night, that our kids were found on CSAM websites. These kids are being filmed into deep fakes and sold on the internet. Okay, and the parents know about it. Some will remove their kids, most will ignore it. Number six, bullying at school or in general. We did a video just the other day about Not Enough Nelsons. Her daughter doesn't want to go to school anymore because she's being bullied. And her daughter's being bullied because her daughter is a famous YouTuber. Okay, she doesn't want to go to school. When you put your kid online and you show everything about them, you are setting them up to be bullied. Doherty Dozen is another one of these big channels that does this. There's been people who reached out to me from the school board, teachers and everything else from where those kids go to school, and they are bullied. And if they're not bullied at school, they're absolutely bullied online. Alex is one of the oldest, is the oldest of the Doherty Dozen, and he is relentlessly bullied on TikTok. I don't know if he cares or not, or if they don't read it, but Alicia lets those comments stay on her channel. Okay, all of their kids are relentlessly bullied inside and outside. And we've got so much proof of these kids being bullied at school because a lot of them will homeschool their children because they want more content. But some of the reason is that in a lot of these people homeschool their kids. A lot of the reason is because they want them home for more content. Some of the reason is because those kids are bullied at school because they are targets. It's just the way it goes. And so when you put a target on your kid's back, regardless, and I know a lot of people will say, well, that's, you know, parents should teach your kids not to bully. Well, I agree with you. But the reality is that there's always going to be bullies. And so giving them content to bully your kid over is crazy. And they have plenty of that. I promise you that. Number seven, it's their story to tell, not yours. And I touched on this in the beginning, especially when it comes to adopted kids. Let your kids be able to tell the story they want to tell, the way they want to tell their story. Not just for adopted kids, but anything else out there. How many of you would be okay with when you got older, there's videos of you online starting your period or shaving your legs or going through puberty or being embarrassed about something? You know, our parents might have documented that when we were growing up and it's like on private tapes in the living room and everything else, but that's private. Okay, there might be embarrassing pictures in a photo album that your mom shows the boyfriend and it's like, oh, you know, that's private. Okay, but when they share this online, the internet is forever and everybody knows that. And so when they share all your diagnosis of your autism and everything else and how you went to the bathroom, and one of the biggest things is those kids who will never be able to tell their story, like Abby from Fathering Autism, who is nonverbal and will never be verbal according to Asa Moss and his wife Priscilla. But they tell her story every day. They show you how she uses the washroom. They exploit her for so much cash because no one's watching them for them. I promise you that. There are so many kids that have their entire stories on the internet and they didn't give permission for that. And so when they get older, they're not going to be allowed to mitigate what everybody knows about them. And that's not fair. There is going to be a $1 billion industry, if it's not already started, about erasing people's digital footprints in the future. The one thing you can give your kid these days is not allowing them on the internet at all. That's what you're seeing parents like me, my kids' ages, like 8, 10 years old, we're saying no social media, none of it. Parents who are responsible anyway, like, you know, if you're allowing kids on TikTok at 9, 10 years old, I think that you're a bad parent. I think you're terrible. And so the gift you can give your kid right now is privacy. Because telling their story should be theirs to tell, not yours. Number eight, these kids are working and child labor laws are being ignored. Right, in California, and I think in California there's a law being passed right now about kids on the internet who are not being protected. Tiffany Raquel Smith is the one right now going to court for taking advantage of so many kids and making hundreds of millions of dollars on YouTube with these kids. Okay, these kids are all working regular schedules as if they were actors, but she was not following the rules of what you should do when you have child actors on set. And she broke all these rules. Every family vlogger out there who films their child and makes money on it is breaking child labor laws. Even if you have Coogan accounts and everything else, you're still breaking them. This is an industry that wasn't regulated and is relatively new. And so the government, as usual, takes 10 to 20 years to catch up all the time. But you're seeing bills like the one in Washington being written right now that's going to try to protect kids online. So every single one of these kids is being used and for labor, and it's against the law. They get away with it because it's a gray area legally. But when the laws are passed, you're going to see this happen a lot. These kids are not going to be on these channels as much, but they'll still break the rules, right? So when your kid is working, and it's going to go back up to the whole point where your kid has to make your money. These kids are sometimes working 12, 18 hours a day. I know a lot of them are going to Disney and they're filming an entire day or 3 or 4 or 5 days at Disney. But when you're making money off that child in that content, your child is technically working, regardless of having fun or not. And that is against child labor laws. And that is why people are crafting bills in almost every state right now to fix this problem, because it's becoming crazy. These kids are working sometimes more than regular people work. And they're being forced to do it. They're being coerced into doing it. They're being guilted into doing it. And it should stop. They should not be the reason you make your money. Number 9, anything a parent does online will affect their kids as well. Now, this just doesn't always have to go with family vlogging. But what I'm talking about here is like OnlyFans, people like JessFam talking about her threesomes and her sexcapades online on her channel where kids are coming to watch. Okay, she's very, very gross about all that stuff. You got people like Kira selling dildos. Everybody seems to be selling dildos and vibrators these days on their channels. When their kids are in the content, Kira did the same thing. She's selling vibrators first half of the video, second half of the video, she's playing with her kids in the snow. Surgeries, breast augmentations, facial lifts, and everything else. They're showing their kids that this isn't good enough and I have to do something different to change myself. And they're showing that to their audience too. That if you don't get these things, you're not, you know, that... I need all these things to be who I genuinely am. And that is actually a very toxic message that social media is responsible for this uptick in girls and stuff who have body dysmorphia and everything else. But we are normalizing that, saying, let people live, do whatever they want. Yes, queen, slay, right? But we know that has detrimental effects on women and men who watch that stuff online. We've seen the data and it's come out. CDC just released that study. It is the most toxic thing in the planet. Women who have OnlyFans and who have kids, we've seen multiple articles about kids. One said that he wanted to unalive himself because he was being bullied so badly at school because the kids found his mother's OnlyFans account. And she said, I don't care. This is how we make money. This is how we live our life. So if they don't, you know, too bad for you, right? That's multiple things, times have happened where moms, selfish people who are in the porn industry have children, and those children have to deal with the ramifications of what their parents' choices are. Now, a lot of people say you shouldn't shame sex workers and all that kind of stuff. Okay, tell that to the kids who are going to bully their children. I've said this from the beginning. If you do that type of work, if you talk about your threesomes, if you sell vibrators and dildos on your channel, if you do OnlyFans and sell yourself for less than the price of a cheeseburger, and you show all your boob jobs and everything else that you have and everything else, all that stuff is online forever, your kids will have to deal with the ramifications of that. And that makes you selfish because you don't give a shit. All you care about is yourself. Family vloggers, and especially these mommy vloggers, care nothing about anybody but themselves. And it's so evident in their content. Some of them have realized how bad it is and they've changed everything. And number 10, it shows kids that exploiting others for gain is okay. This is often some of the only ways that they can make money since they're not really getting an education. Alex Petit from Crazy Pieces, every single one of her kids, they've got an offshoot channel of their own, making very, very little money doing it. But they don't have proper educations because they don't go to college because the parents are like, oh, they don't need to go to college. They'll have social media. JessFam says the same thing about her children. They're going to have this. She thinks she's gifting them something by building up their platforms and their social medias and their Instagram since their birth. She's like, that's the legacy she's leaving her kids, to be an influencer, which is so stupid. Not Enough Nelsons is a good example of this. So I'm going to cover this soon. Their sister, I think Just Cass, was groomed in this world, was brought up in this world to make tons of money doing this. And now that sister exploits her brothers and sisters on her channel in so many ways. So the kids are not only exploited at home by the parents, they're also exploited by the sister who's moved out. And these people are making millions of dollars off these kids, okay? She's driving a G-Wagon. They live in like a 14-bedroom mansion or something like that. People make so much money doing this, and all they're doing is teaching their kids that this is how you gotta do it. This is the only thing that matters. Do you really want to teach your kids the only way to make money is to be fake on the internet? Or is it important that your kids grow up and understand what being a real human is like? Because none of these kids know what that is. And for the simple fact alone, is that when the camera is on, their parents are somebody else. The camera's off, that's when they're real. And so when the kids see the camera on, especially since a young age, that must mess you right up. Because you see your parents as someone completely different when they're acting, as if someone who they really are. And we've seen so many families fall apart in the back end who weren't showing you what was really going on. And then it all falls apart, and then you see it later because they have to talk about it and they monetize that shit. What these people are teaching their children is that this is the only way you can get by. And these kids are suffering because in the future they have nothing to fall back on. Zero. And they might have said some stuff on there as teenagers that's going to get them canceled anyway. And so that's just really, really dangerous. That's kind of like the top 10 reasons I could think of so far about why family vlogging is so dangerous. And most of it obviously has to do with affecting the children, okay? But it definitely affects the parents too. Hey, these parents are living very stressful lives of like trying to come up with content and fake everything for the internet. They're not even being real with themselves. And that's got to take a very, very big toll on them too. And so, I mean, what's the purpose of this video? Just to educate you, and maybe you could share this video with people who wonder why family vlogging is wrong. These are some of the major points. And some of the great people you can follow on this topic are Mom Uncharted, okay? TikTok Advocate, Quit Clicking Kids, and so many others who are out there trying to do some big things and try to call these people. There is bills being drafted, and if they are not in your state, maybe it's time to talk to them about that. I'm gonna start lobbying here in my own country, which has already started anyway. We don't have a really huge problem with family vlogging in Canada, but I mean, who knows, right? I know Germany and other countries have already started and made it illegal to do it anyway, okay? But if this is the video that shows you why. Now, maybe we'll do a video on how we can change this. And those bills that are coming up are going to be really, really important. You cannot let big tech sway those, because big tech wants kids on their platform, because big tech makes billions of dollars off children. Okay. Another thing you can do is stop buying the products that sponsor family vlog channels. If you see one of these family vloggers shilling out a product, don't buy that product. And tell that company why you're not buying that product. Because you don't want to use a product where a company will use exploited kids to sell their goods. Right? There's lots we can do here, and we're going to keep talking about it. So everybody take a deep breath. Whew. Thanks for joining me here in the Dad Challenge Podcast for important videos just like this one. Make sure you share this one, because this is it. A lot of people are wondering why, and there's nobody who can have an argument against any of these either, right? Especially when it comes to informed consent. If anybody really wants to argue, just ask people, can kids give informed consent? And nobody has ever been able to answer that question, nor will they ever be able to, because they can't. Not honestly, anyway. So, but thank you for being here. Thank you for being amazing and incredible. Don't forget, you are badass. And I'll see you tomorrow.